We will be looking on the subject of divine separation. Divine separation. And we will be going back to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. We'll pick up the last couple of verses of Genesis, chapter 11, from verse 27 to 32. And then we will move over to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 9. So Genesis chapter 11, verse 27 to 32. And we can read that from the New Living Translation. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. He died while his father was still alive. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Iscah were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. But Sarah was unable to become pregnant and had no children. Bob said, one day Terah took his son Abraham, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. So here we have an account of the family of Terah, Abraham's father. He had sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. And he died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth. And the Bible tells us that after Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Bible tells us further that one day Terah decided to leave his country, his birthplace. And he took with him the son, his son Abram, his daughter-in-law, as Abraham's wife Sarah, and his grandson Lot, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was heading to Canaan. But somewhere along the journey, he stopped at Haran and settled there. He lived there for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abraham, or Abram at the time, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. We recognize here that the story of Abraham, we have no account of his life what took place in his life before the Lord communicating with him. Abram had left Ur of the Chaldees with his father Terah, and they were now in Haran. And the Lord spoke to Abram. We are not told in scripture why Terah had left Ur of the Chaldees heading for Canaan. Some theologians believe that Terah had a call from the Lord, but he did not follow through completely. But here, while he was settled in Haran, Abraham got a divine call. The story of Abraham opens up with, without any identifying formula or preliminary observation of the type of Noah. If we recognize when Noah appeared on the scene, or the story of the life of Noah, the Lord said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Nothing is said about Abraham as it relates to him finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Nothing is said about Abraham as was said about Noah, that he was a righteous man. In Genesis 6 and verse 9, he said, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. We did not see an account of that as it relates to Abraham's life. But suddenly, God calls out to this man. And he commands him, said, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. He's 75 years old. His father is an idolater. He was grown in the house of idolatry. And one's environment certainly will impact our lifestyle or make an impression on us. But here, the voice that spoke in creation, the voice that said, let there be, and there was, suddenly singles out one individual. And the last time that we heard the voice of the Lord was in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 8 to 17, when he brought a message of hope and blessing to the human race. When he told Noah and to his sons that I'll establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generation. He said, I've set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of covenant between me and earth. And we can read further along to hear much more about what the divine voice gave to humanity. 10 generations had passed and we heard nothing. And the world, or of the Chaldees, was a headquarters for idolatry. The lifestyle and the doctrines and the teachings of Nimrod was glorified. But in the midst of that, it is said by history that Terah himself, Abraham's father, was a priest in the religion of Nimrod, an idolater. But here comes the divine call to one man, Abraham. Leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. It's a challenge. It is a great demand. That's the purpose of the divine call. So is it with us as even as Christians. We have to understand how valuable the call of God is on our lives. It's a call that demands separation. It's a call that demands our full attention. It comes with a challenge, but more so, it comes with a blessing. He said, I will make you into a great nation. That's what the Lord said to him. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. That's the call. Make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. Make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. The call of separation. These blessings that the Lord promised Abraham demanded that his obedience and faith to the call must be executed. And so the whole concept or doctrine of separation is key to the life of every believer. That was one of the main teaching of Jesus Christ himself. He teaches separation. He divides and he separates. Any man who is going to be a believer in Christ must believe the doctrine of separation. When we look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, it is quite similar to what the Lord himself had asked of Abraham. Luke 14 and verse 26. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. You cannot be my disciple. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. The word hate simply speaks of priority, separation. If God demands it, we have to render it to him. The first thing we will recognize as an individual was heard the divine call is that the divine call surpasses any other purpose for your existence. In other words, my main purpose in life has everything to do with the divine call. Christianity, though we may say it is simple, but Christianity, or the revelation of Jesus Christ, supersedes any other demands on our life. Brothers and sisters, let's listen. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. These are the words of Jesus. And let's see if we can relate to it in the life of Abram. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Jesus says, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. My divine call will cause you to have enemies in your own household. Daughter against mother. A man against his father. A daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Enemies in your own household. Why? By simply calling you. Come, follow me. Leave your native country. What is familiar to you, Abram, leave it. Leave the doctrine of your father. Leave the religion of your father. And leave even your own father. Brothers and sisters, let's recognize how great a demand was the call on Abram's life. We look at it as a simple one. But here is an individual who has heard from the sovereign God of heaven. The sovereign one tells him, if we look back in Genesis chapter 12, chapter rather 11 and verse, I think it's verse 27. Verse 26. After Terah was 70 years old, he became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. He was 70. He took them. Well, Haran Nahor had died. Haran rather died, and he took Abraham, his wife, and Lot to out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he dwelt in the land for 75 years. When the Lord appeared to Abraham, when he called out Abraham, Abraham was 75 years old. That meant 70 plus 75. His father is 145 years old. And now he has gotten the call. Leave your father. Leave your family. Leave the country that you are familiar to. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you somewhere. And I'm going to bless you. The Bible said that Abraham listened and obeyed the voice of the Lord. And we simply look on that and it seems simple. But Abraham is going to leave his father at 145 years old. Still have another 60 years to live because he died at 205 years old. He's going to cut loose from his father to hearken to the voice of the Lord. Not even having the privilege to bury his father. He's leaving everything for the divine call. The question is, this revelation of Jesus, what does it mean to us? What kind of a value do we place on the revelation of Jesus? This call to be separated from the world and follow him. Deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. What does it mean? How much do we value it? What kind of a value do we place on it? Jesus said that if it means that family will be against you, you have to leave. If it means that obeying or receiving this call and following after Jesus means that we have to leave the familiar places, that's the demand that the Lord places. He told Abraham, leave your native country. Can you imagine? Leaving your country, you're leaving your relatives and your father's family. That's the demand that I have placed on your life, Abraham. Go from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's house, to a place I will show you. He has not received anything tangible. It's a call of faith. He has to believe and obey. He said, I will make you into a great nation. How? Scripture tells us from Genesis chapter 11 that Abraham's wife, Sarah, could not have children. She was barren. And here, the divine one, the Lord himself, was telling Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. But you have to go. You have to leave mom and dad. You have to leave your relatives. You have to leave your birthplace and listen to the voice of the one sovereign God of the universe. What kind of a demand has the Lord placed on our life? Do we understand? Or do we agree? Have we fully comprehended that the purpose of the call of God on our lives supersede everything else? Supersede personal ambitions, personal desires. The Lord's call is first and foremost. He said, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great. In other words, the journey causes three negative things. Because these are long journeys. They're living like nomads. They're traveling from one place to the other with your cattle, servants, tents, dwelling in tents. It is said that such a journey will diminish or diminishes one's reproduction system. It diminishes their money. And in traveling as aliens from one place to the other place, when you leave the familiar environment, you have left your reputation, your good reputation. And wherever you head, you have to earn that all over again. You're reaching a land that nobody knows you except your own family. And the people you deal with, you'll have to begin to earn a good reputation with them. But the Lord said, I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation. That's the first thing the Lord says. When you leave Abram, I'll make you into a great nation. Your wife is barren, but I'm going to allow her to produce. The blessing I'm going to give you, you will not live to see it. I will make you into a great nation. Brothers and sisters, we reread these stories and we look on these men and we think, oh, such a great man of God. And we don't recognize, not because somebody is not writing our own story. We fail to recognize how important our call is as it relates to everything else that's happening in the world. It could be that there's a generation of righteous men coming out of you because you have heeded the call of God. It could be that your life story, our life story, will be a testimony to millions of people. And we don't know. Do you think that Abraham was thinking about millions of people that were coming after him before he left Ur of the Chaldees or Haran? But he heeded the call. And so as it relates to a diminishing reproduction system, the Lord said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Everything that we need for the purpose of our call, God has given us a blessing for it. In traveling, it's going to cost you. The Lord said, I will bless you. Don't you worry about money. Don't you worry about what you have to spend for this call. I am going to bless you, Abraham. Just believe and move. Isn't that powerful? Brothers and sisters, these are some little nuggets that we can pick from such a character in the Bible to understand that everything that God demands of us, He will never demand anything from us that He has not given to us. He said, I will bless you. You worry about living in a country where nobody else knows you. You're an alien, you're new, and you worry about losing your reputation. He said, I will make you famous. All I simply want you to do is to believe, hearken to my voice, and you will be blessed. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. I will make you famous. That's what the Lord says. That's what he requires of Abraham. Abraham left his father at 145 years. Left everything that was familiar. Left comfort. Left luxury to follow after God. The call of the Lord demands every individual who is called will have to learn to separate himself to answer the call of God. Maybe to separate from the teachings of our forefathers, our parents, our grandparents. Some of us are coming from backgrounds that's buried heavily in idolatry. When God calls us, we have to cut loose from idolatry. Doesn't matter what family may think. Don't you, can you imagine that when Abraham decided to leave, just by answering the call of God, he ended up with enemies within his own family. Different ones had their own opinions. How dare you leave your father? How dare you talk about a God who is leading you to a place that he will show you? This is not what we know. This is not what our parents taught us. But he, by faith, he obeyed the voice of the Lord. The Bible said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Those who treat you with contempt. That's the Lord's. He said, I will bless those who bless you. Those who wish you well and those who demonstrate solidarity with you will enjoy God's blessing. All this, brothers and sisters, is simply by believing and following the voice of the Lord. You're going into a strange place. But anyone who treats you kindly, anyone who shows you goodness, Abraham, don't you worry. I'm going to bless them. Anyone who treats you with contempt, anyone who treats you harshly, I will execute my judgment upon them. As a shield around God's people. And that's very relevant to us today. For the blessing of Abraham has come upon us through Jesus Christ. Anyone who has left the familiar territories, whether it be the place of your birth, the families that have stood up against you and the call that God has placed on your life. God said, don't you worry, I will bless you. In other words, I will take care of you. Not only you, but those who take care of you, I'll take care of them too. And any man who stands up against you, I will stand against him. In other words, Abraham, you don't have to fight. I will fight for you. What about the 75 years? Perhaps in the walk with the Lord, as he progressed, as he kept on moving, he will recognize more and more what the Lord demands of him. He may not, even as us as Christians, we may not do everything that the Lord desires of us at the start of the journey. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, as we spend time developing our relationship with God, we will recognize that the 75 years before the call, and I'm just using Abraham's life as an example. However, it all depends on how many years we were before we got saved in darkness. But the more we are drawn into this light, the more that we experience or have a relationship with this light, is the more it shines upon the darkness or the dark places in our lives. And we'll recognize how much more we need to separate ourselves to please the Lord. It was Peter who asked a question. He said, "Lord, we have left everything. We have separated from everything to follow you." He asked the question in Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. Jesus replied, he said, "I assure you that everyone, not only you, Peter, but everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property, you have separated yourself from these things for my sake and for the good news." Jesus says, "Don't you worry, Peter. Anybody who have separated themselves from family and things for my sake and for the good news," Jesus said, "will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life." God is fear. God is righteous. When he says he will bless you, he will bless you. That's why, brothers and sisters, I am a firm believer, not by information, but by revelation, and having experienced it myself, I'm a firm believer that any man who has a call of God on his life, you don't have to stress yourself out to provide for yourself in this world. God said he will bless you. He will bless you. But you got to believe. He told Abram that you shall be a blessing. And we bless those who bless you and curse him that curses you. Any man who treats you harshly or shows you any form of evil, mistreats you, they will receive a misfortune. It doesn't matter who the person is. Once they touch you, Abraham, they touch me. And I will mete out to them the judgment of the Lord. And if God curse any man, he's cursed. The Bible said that Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. He was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into the household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. That's the grandchildren of Ham, the son of Noah. And these persons were cursed. Bible said that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abraham built an altar there and dedicated to the Lord who had appeared to him. When we look at what the Lord had promised him, he told him nothing about this land called Canaan. The Lord just told him, when he gave him the call, he told him, I'll make you into a great nation. He said, go to the land that I will show you. We're not told that God told Abraham that go down to Canaan. He said, go to the land which I will show you. So he's guided by the Lord himself in traveling, in leaving Haran, leaving his father, leaving everything. Just like us as believers, when we get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, some of us didn't know what we were going to do because we never even informed our family. We know our families hated the church, but we stopped by church on the way home from work and just stood by the window. And you never even planned to get baptized. You never planned to give your surrender your life to the Lord. But something from the preacher convict our consciences. And we were buried in Jesus' name. Under the conviction, we made a decision to go down in water baptism. And we didn't even think about what will happen when we get home. But the Lord, that call has set up a division in which he will separate you from everything to bring out his own pleasure. What a mighty God we serve. And so we didn't know what our plan was going to be in the future, but we got baptized. We received the Holy Ghost. My God Almighty, I've heard many of folks testified. They were from other belief systems, and when they got saved, they had to keep it a secret. But the secret could only be kept for so long, and some of them were banished from their homes. Their families rejected them. Throw them out. But the divine presence was with them, guiding them. Some of them slept on the, they didn't have homes to sleep in. But the presence of the Lord was there. And so God began to guide our steps like he guided Abraham. And as soon as Abraham touched down in the land of Canaan, a stranger in Canaan, but as soon as he touched down in Canaan, because he had separated himself from the idolatry of his father, rejected the religion of idolatry and paganism, would not give credence to Nimrod and his gods, but hearken to the divine call. As soon as he touched down in Canaan, the Lord appeared to him. My God Almighty, my God Almighty. Some of us are one step away from a revelation of God, but you have to cut loose. Some of us are one step away from the divine call, from the divine voice to make an impression upon our hearts. But he's waiting for you to cut loose. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. As soon as he stood on the land of Canaan, the Bible said that the Lord God appeared unto him and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abraham, when he heard, my God Almighty, the next thing the man began to do was to worship. He built an altar there and dedicated to the Lord who had appeared unto him. Brothers and sisters, The silence of God sometimes has to do with the actions of men. He's silent at times because we are out of divine order. As soon as Abraham reached Canaan, the Lord was with him traveling from Haran. And as soon as he touched down there, my God, the Lord said to him, my brother Abraham, you're at the right place. He said, look on this land. I'm going to give it to your descendants. My. And the Bible said, Abraham began to worship. He built an altar unto the Lord. Here, we have to understand, brothers and sisters, when we are in a right relationship with God, God orders our step. It doesn't matter how things around us may seem confusing. It may seem confusing at times, but the order, the divine order is with us. Bible said Abraham began to worship. Why? Because he heard the divine Lord God himself talking to him. And all this has to do with Abraham listening, obeying by faith what the Lord had requested of him. Go forth. Some of us may be trapped in a cycle of confusion. But what is it that the Lord had said to you when he appeared to you? When you got this call, are you still at the same position that the Lord, when he appeared to you, when he gave you this great revelation, are you still at the same position? Have you moved? Have you obeyed? Have you cut, sever your ties? Or are you still trying to enjoy the familia, the comfort, the luxury? Abraham left everything that God asked him to leave. And because of that, the voice of the Lord was with him. How valuable is the call of God? How valuable? Have I truly separated myself? Because separation has everything to do with the call of God. Separation means sanctification, to be distinct, to be set apart, which essentially is holiness. That means set apart unto God. If any man is going to be holy, he must be separated unto Christ. That's what the Lord demands of us. That's where the blessing is. That's where true worship is. That's where worship becomes easy. As soon, we didn't hear what Abraham said to the Lord, but as soon as he touched down in Canaan, the Lord spoke to him, and Abraham just began to worship. He built an altar unto the Lord and dedicated to the Lord who had appeared unto him. And the man is caught up in a cycle of worship. He traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. Obedience to the Lord allow His presence to be a divine shield around us. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter if we are in the territory of the enemies. I will bless you. Bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Why? Because my purpose is alive in you. Why? Because you have separated yourself unto the call, unto me. And I've made a deposit in you to bring forth my glory. Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Lift your hands and just worship Him. Brothers and sisters, I want us to stop and to think, to meditate, to stop, and just begin to think about the call of God on your life. What He requires of us. Are our personal desires above what God requires? Our own ambition, what we desire in this life, have we paid much more attention to it than the call of the Lord? Which is more important? How have we responded to the call? How have we responded? How do we treat it? Is it of utmost importance? Is it everything that we live for? Does our actions dictate to us and to others or to the Lord Jesus that we are truly His disciples? Because He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else. Father, mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. In other words, you can't be my disciple. That word hate means the Lord is first priority. If it means losing mother and father to answer the call of God, then mother and father will be lost. The relationship that I require supersedes the relationship with family, relatives, or any attachment to anything in this world. That's what the Lord says. Let us bow our heads.